This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ask Sarah with Sarah Wiseman, where you'll learn to awaken your divine intuition and open your human heart. Sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and learn. Here's Sarah.
Shine on by, don't you know I'm a new soul? Slide on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ask Sarah with Sarah Wiseman. That is me, your host, Sarah Wiseman. Today, we are talking about a pretty interesting topic that I think is interesting anyway. It's certainly something a lot of us know a lot about. Can we help others without being codependent? And a lot of you guys know the term codependent from the psychological version, but I want to look at it in terms of how we would look at that spiritually. How would we look at that from a spiritual or soul perspective? So we'll be talking about that during the show. Can we help others without being codependent? Because a lot of us out there are these tender, sensitives and empaths and sensitive empaths, and we tend to want to, I don't know how many times I hear this idea, like, I just want to help people, or I want to develop my psychic gifts so that I can help people, or I want to develop my psychic gifts so that I can heal people. And so where does this gray area happen that we determine when we are helping with correct emotional and also spiritual boundaries? And when are we crossing that line into this sticky place where we're not helping them and we're not helping us, and the whole thing is just a codependent, chaotic mess? So we'll be talking about that during the show. I do invite you to call in. We have free readings Tuesday today. You can call into 844-390-8255, 844-390-8255, and we are doing live readings on the air. And I love to talk to you about what's going on in your life. We'll look at that from soul perspective. And also, if you're having any spiritual stuff going on, any psychic stuff, I love to discuss, you know, that's kind of my whole my wheelhouse. And so I love to discuss that. I mean, always we're looking at things from spiritual perspective, but I love to focus on anybody that's having psychic phenomenon going on because it's so fascinating. I would say that the current quality of time, I know we've got a full moon tomorrow, I believe in Sagittarius, but I would say that the quality of time right now, at least what I'm noticing and my students are noticing, is that we are in less upheaval than we have been for a while. And this can feel a little different, maybe a little flat, possibly a little dull. And what I would like to say is if this is the experience you're having, instead of looking at this kind of flatness or stillness in this current quality of time, what I might suggest to you is that you just are like so happy for the break from all this chaotic up and down we've been through the last few years, and use this time to rest and to meditate and to connect with your guides and to do your inner work. And you take this time as deep retreat, because the cycles always, you know, we're up and down in a wave pattern. Sometimes the wave is building, sometimes the wave is receding. And right now we're in more of a receding stage the next little while. So take this as a gift and just allow yourself to relax. to help you with this, what we have going on, we're starting registration right now. We'll start this in very early June, but we have the Solstice Project, 28 Days of Light. We do this most years. It's one of the courses that I teach where everybody does it together. We start on a particular day, we stop on a particular day. So it's not like one of the courses you can take anytime. The Solstice Project is online. Go to sarahweisman.com. It's $15. It's right there on the front page. And would love to have you as a participant in this. It's a really cool course. We go into nature. We connect with the moon. We connect with the nature beings. It's just pretty wonderful. And of course, a beautiful time to do it, at least in Northern Hemisphere when we're in the warmer weather. Okay, let's go to the phones. First up, we have Heather calling from Michigan. Heather, welcome to the program. Heather, can you hear me? Let's see, I can't hear Heather. There we go, now I can hear you. Go ahead, what's on your mind?
Okay, hi. Well, I first heard about you through a book I read on how to help my daughter with her empath abilities. And then I started listening to your podcast and I heard that you take calls. So I thought of a million questions I could ask you. But the one that keeps coming to the top of my mind that I think is the first thing I should start with is, so our family's been working on a farmhouse for the last 5 years. It's been in my husband's family for over 100 years. And it's actually a house we had imagined working on when we were high school sweethearts. And now we're in our 40s and we have children and we're kind of to a point where we need to know, like, is this the time to really push and make it happen? Or do we continue to kind of go paycheck by paycheck and little by little? We've done all the demo work ourselves. And it's kind of to that point where we'll need to sell the house we live in. So we have two houses right now. We have one we live in, and we have this farmhouse that we are working on and planning to move to. So in order to have the funds to finish the farmhouse, we would need to sell the home we're in and just sort of wing it in between. So I wondered if Spirit has any advice on how to do this. It's kind of making my head spin. And I feel like there's five different directions I could go in.
How old are your kids, Heather?
My oldest is 14 and then I have 12 and 7. And my 14-year-old's a freshman. So this is really giving me the sense of urgency that I want her to live in this home before she leaves home. You know, like, I want her to feel like it's home when she comes back.
And when you and your husband have had this dream, have you seen, like, when you're thinking about it, when you're talking about it, do you feel like this farmhouse, do you see yourself growing old there? Or does it just seem like it's more of something to do for a while and then eventually you would move? Do you have any sense of that at all, or do you think he does?
We both fully sense that this will be our forever home. This will be where we stay.
Yeah. So what I'm receiving is that it's sort of like you're at kind of this now or never point. It's almost like if you don't jump into this pretty darn quick, full on, it's somehow going to slide away from you. Almost as if you might not be able to move there later, or you might have to sell it later. It's almost like the house, the farmhouse is waiting for you to claim it and waiting for you to really fully say yes to it, to put both feet into the stream instead of now kind of one foot on the stream, one foot on the shore. So with okay. that sense of urgency, there isn't a wrong decision. It's just what you guys want and what you find important. But there is a time urgency that it can't continue in this halfway position. The universe is like, hey guys, are you in or are you out? Because other things are getting ready to happen. So there's no yes or okay. no, it's just what do you want? And I know, like a lot of you guys know, I used to live in the country on a bunch of acres, and that was amazing. And then I moved into town a couple years ago, and I love living in the country, and I love living in town. And so this idea that things that we plan do change, and there's not a right or wrong, but in your case, mm-hmm. time is getting kind of sticky, and I don't know why. It's almost like somebody else is ready to have the farmhouse if you guys don't want it. And their desire is sort of starting to sort of mix with your manifesting.
I really am feeling this urgency. I don't know if it's Mercury stirring me up, but I just am feeling like, okay, we got to do the next thing. We got to keep going. We've come this far.
I don't think it's Mercury. I think it's a really bigger, like a life cycle path for you and your husband. It's like, this is the time to do it. If you don't do it, it might pass you by. And if you do it, you may not live there forever, but you will live there for a period of time in which your children can have that experience of living there. And it sounds like that's more what you want. The other thing is to look really deeply at just because something's been in the family, what I'm finding now with a lot of the family karma or the way we approach like things from the lineage, what I'm finding for a lot of people is that the lineage is being broken away from rather than kept alive. And so you guys are kind of outliers in that way. You're actually clinging to something from the lineage. And I would just look at that and really make sure that your husband is doing it for himself, which would be the correct direction, rather than doing it from this sense of obligation of, you know, these ancestors had it and I have to keep it for them. That's not what this is about. This is about you guys having this experience. It's not about retaining any tradition, and he may have that mixed up in his mind a little bit. Does that make sense to you?
It makes a lot of sense. He's always grown up identifying as being a farmer and the next generation to take over. But it's a little different now than it was.
It's Heather, it's really different. And so if he just understands he's doing this for himself, not for his children, not for his grandchildren, for himself, he wants to have the experience and that's going to be enough. He doesn't have to attach future ancestry to this property because I don't see that happening. He may be the last to live there or to have that property, and that's okay. Things are changing radically. So allowing him to sort of have that sense of that would be okay if it didn't continue on. At least you guys are going to have the experience of being there. So.
Right. And we already have enjoyed the experience of working on the house so far.
Yeah.
As a family, you know. I just needed to ask.
So it's really like
for us.
It's really like jump in the next month or so, or don't jump and let it go. It's kind of like where the timing is, and it's not Mercury. It's your bigger, your full. It's not just an astrological episode now. It's the bigger karmic path of you and your husband. It's like it's the opportunity. The gift is here. Accept the gift, or let it go. But you can't just kind of hold on to the gift and not take it, is sort of where you're at.
Right.
Yeah. Well, good luck, Heather. Very exciting.
Say that again.
Oh, it sounds very exciting. So good luck to you. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, Heather brings up a really interesting point. Sometimes the universe works in divine timing, and sometimes the timing, when something is presented, you have to just jump at it. There is no second opportunity, or there is no lingering indecision. I think a lot of you have probably had experiences where you've met someone and had to decide immediately if you were going to go into a relationship with them. And if you knew if you were to wait, that possibility would go away. Or if you had a job offer, you don't get to sit around waiting for a year to decide. You have to decide, you have to jump. And this idea that in jumping, you know, either the net appears or it doesn't appear, but at least you are meeting the opportunity with your own intention. Okay, let's go to the phone where we have Deborah calling from Seattle. Deborah, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Sarah. I greatly appreciate you and I greatly appreciate this opportunity. I spoke with you about 4 years ago and did exactly what you said. You said to return to New England and compare myself to my former self because I was returning to where I used to live. And so I did that. And now I'm getting ready to embark on another move. And once again, I feel like I have so many options of, well, I can choose here, I could choose here, but I don't have the anything set up. And so I just wondered what you might feel.
What did you discover when you went back to your roots? What were the takeaways for you?
Though I have still remained in contact all these years with my longtime friends, I felt very much that geographically I was complete.
Did you find that... did you feel, even though you might have felt love for your friends, did you feel kind of that there was no more exploration possible with them, or that you couldn't grow into the person you had the possibility of being with that group?
I think the latter, what you just said, yes. I feel that... though they're, you know, they're heartfelt friends, I grew up with them, we remain in touch all the time, that partially because of the pandemic, you know, nobody was willing to meet up or take risks or anything. It was so stagnated that I felt very much I couldn't continue to be there and feel stuck. And I didn't want to be in a geographic that felt stuck either. My flow needed to keep going. And I just knew that it's somewhere else. And I'll continue to be with my friends and love them. But I have a whole list of what I need to complete in the rest of my life. I'm going to be 60 a month. So
you're right on track with your age in terms of this feeling of I must do my life. I can't do my life in terms of what other people would define me as or consider me as. And when we have long-term friends, they often take on the aspect of being family-like. And, you know, we always, have relationship with our family, love them or not love them, but the part of you that's being called is, you've already explored that with them. There's nothing new there, through no fault of anyone, but the love is there, but the relationships have actually completed. It doesn't mean you don't have to speak to them. It's just, there's nothing new there. I feel like you're ready to take on something, maybe not permanently, but something radically different than you've experienced before. What kind of places are coming to your mind that are like a big stretch for you?
Well, I have friends where I'm located that I've been friends with for a quarter of a century, and some are going to Arizona and some are going to Oregon, and all of which are leaving here or California. And, you know, I'm trying to remind myself not to try to squeeze into other people's plans.
Yeah.
I think what's also coming up for me is, you know, I have so many, I lost 15 loved ones during a year, and it's sort of triggering me feeling like, oh my goodness, I don't want to be alone.
Yeah. Well, I agree with, I was seeing in my visioning something that looked like either Arizona and or New Mexico, or that style of vegetation and the warmth. And I don't see this as, I see this as being a couple years and then there's another move. It's almost like this is the place. It feels like this is a place of extreme mystic exploration for you, so that you go there and you feel like you've almost come to another, like another planet, and you think you're going to hate it, and then you fall in love with it. It's not permanently, but something that you've been craving is really met by there. And what's coming into my mind is there's this, I don't know if I have this right, but there's this place called like, this isn't right. They're called like the Earth Houses. I think it's in New Mexico. And it's this entire colony of these super ecological homes, and they look like space houses. I'm not saying you're going to live there, but that idea of something so different, and so not what you thought, and you go there and everything blows open for you in the best way spiritually. It's just the connection and the vibe meets you where you've been trying to go for a while. It's almost like you've been too grounded for a very long time, and you're going to go to this place where everything opens up. So I would look for Arizona or New Mexico. I would look there, and it's a couple years and it changes everything for you. And then after that, it's another new adventure. So,
okay.
Yeah.
It's completely, I appreciate your intuition and vision, and it resonates. And yes, I'm on a mystical exploration for sure.
Yeah. And don't be afraid of being alone. When you go through this almost like rite of passage, you change so much that some of the fears about stability or knowing it, a lot of that stuff goes away. You lose your fear with this next move. And so your whole, what you're looking for changes after this too, which is pretty interesting. So you're exactly on your correct path. So just don't be afraid to try something really different. Thank you, Deborah.
Okay.
I appreciate your phone call. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Much love. Bye.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Deborah's in this beautiful spot. And I think in the 60s, this is what happens to a lot of folks. We have this sense of we think it's maybe like the one final adventure. It's usually not the final adventure, but it is the acceptance of ourselves without the tethers from the past. So if we look at Heather calling in her 40s, ready to have a big experience with family, we look at Deborah in her 60s, ready to break free of family, long-term friends, and return to who she is, or return to who each of us is. And then, you know, different stages as we move beyond, but approaching these changes without fear on at whatever age you are is always brings you to the next step more easily and with gives you a better chance of hitting the mark where the universe is trying to take you. Okay, let us go with Jill calling from Atlanta. Jill, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes. What can I help you out with today?
Oh, I'm so excited to be on. Thank you, Sarah. So I have been in corporate America for a long time, 20 plus years. And last year I quit corporate America. I'm a CPA. And for the last several years, you know, I felt this deep calling to do something in the spiritual entrepreneurial space. You know, I've taken all kinds of classes and learning healing modalities, and it's like so what lights me up. I'm even signed up for your intuition academy starting in June.
Nice.
But I just can't quite make this leap. Like, I'm in a position right now where I have a lot of tools, but I just don't have any confidence. And I have, you know, these other accounting opportunities arising that are kind of pulling me back into this other. It's like I have one leg in yes. one space and one leg in the other space, and I'm straddling it. And I'm wondering if you have any messages for me on which leg to pull up.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yes. So when you do the summer training, so Jill's talking about the Intuition University group training, which we've already closed registration for summer. But so when you do that,
yes.
you're going to do so many contacts with your guides and other methods that you're going to gain tons of clarity on these exact questions. But I want to ask you, have you had your own CPA business before?
I have not. I have always worked for somebody in a large corporation, and it's not exactly the best environment. I recently, though, moved, and I've been doing some consulting and accounting from home, which is a much better fit for me. I can make my own hours. It's flexible. I get, you know, I have much more work-life balance. It gives me time to do my fun stuff, which is the spiritual stuff. So that's kind of like where I'm in both worlds right now.
Yeah. So,
but I don't know if I don't know if I should just, you know, dive into it or if I should wait until I feel ready. I mean, do you ever feel ready?
I think you should wait until a couple more weeks until we start in June and you start receiving all the information. But what I'm seeing is that you are in this magnificent position of having all the rational skills of your field, plus you're going to be gaining all the intuitive skills of another field. And there's this beautiful sweet spot for you to marry these and to use them both. As you start to get to know, like when you're in the group, you're going to start to get to know all these psychics and healers who are like, I need a CPA that's going to understand where I'm coming from. And you're going to just understand that you can do both and it can be super fulfilling and super thrilling, but it's not there yet. And I think when you get in the group, you're going to start to see what I call like templates for how to do both together in a really original way. It's definitely about having your own business. You won't be working for others anymore, which is, I don't think it's scary. I think it's phenomenal. It's the only way I can work. But this is the new path that you're coming to this next.
I would just kind of take a break
from making any choices and wait a couple weeks. And within a month, you're going to have a pretty clear idea of exactly what you want to do. But it's all about having your own business.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you so much. Because I feel like I have so many spiritual mentors and like I feel like I'm trying to fit and be them and I don't quite fit and I don't want to go back into the other. So if I could marry the two somehow, that sounds amazing. I just don't know how to do that, you know?
Yes. And we'll be talking about that in the group, but it's wonderful. And you are going to be in high demand from people that are looking for people that have your skills, but that also have an understanding of what they're working on. And you're also going to do your own psychic work as well. So it's going to be pretty fun. Anyway, good. I'm glad. I'll look forward to having you.
Yay! Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sarah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Jill brings up a really good point. You know, lots of people that I work with, you know, they're realtors or they're bankers or they have other businesses, and they use the intuition either as something they also do or for their personal practice. And this idea of mixing the two, we're not in the old world where there was a hard line. We're in a world where intuitive practice, spiritual practice cross over into the everyday more and more and more. And this is where we're going, so that there's no line in between. Let us go to the phones. The phones are busy today. We have Pam from Maryland. Pam, welcome to the program.
Hi, Sarah. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you. What can I help you out with today?
I'm just wondering if I'm on the right path. I found myself retired a little bit earlier than I expected, actually a lot earlier than I expected. And I am trying to find something to do with myself that will allow me to make money, pursue my creative interests, and just fill my time as well. And I'm wondering,
Pam, what happened that you, how early did you retire, and what happened that made this happen sooner than you thought? Pam, did we lose Pam?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, we'll see if Pam calls back, or let's just see if she, if there's someone else waiting, we can go with them, and if not,
right now.
We'll, okay. Let's see what happens. I'm still here. Anyway, let's segue into our topic of today, which is, can we help others without being codependent? We'll take a breather from callers for just a moment. If people do want to call back in or call in, it's 844-390-8255, 844-390-8255. So, can we help others without being codependent? And the answer is yes and no. It depends. I tend to be a helper of my family, and that is somewhat codependent. And I tend to be a helper of others professionally, and that is not codependent. So, how do you determine which way you're being and where you're running into sticky issues of trying to be the helper or the healer or the fixer or the manager or all these things, especially women, especially people who have been parents or people who are responsible for maybe their older parents? How do we do this line? And so, the key is when we are concerned with outcome, when we think we know the answer for the other person, they should do this. This is what should happen. Here is the best course. And we attempt to help the other person make all that stuff that we see happen. This is where we get codependent. When we see what we think would be best for that person, but we don't attach to outcome, we provide our opinion or our advice, but we don't attach to what happens. We just leave that to the universe and that person. Then we're not being codependent. And it's really important, because a lot of times, especially with family, with family relationships, if we have children, if we have older parents that we might be taking care of, we get to know them so well. And especially all you guys out there who are super psychic, super empathic, I know what they need. I know what they should do because we know them so well. We just see clearly what's ahead. And yet, when we try to provide this information and we try to affect outcome, or we try to be in charge of outcome or be in control of the situation, then we are taking on the role that the universe is here to play. And that, of course, the universe can play so much better than we can. When we talk to a family member and say, hey, here's my advice to you, here's what I think, that's fine. It's just when we get concerned, or we try and control the outcome, or we get upset when they don't follow our wonderful advice, that's where it's on us. Key is offer advice, use all your psychic visioning, use your clairaudience, use your clairsentience, all of the gifts you have to see, to foresee what's ahead for the person. And then just let it go. The universe will manifest in the way that is best for that particular soul. We can foresee the situation, we can foresee the soul lesson, but it's up to that soul to make those steps to whatever outcome they're going to be at. And we are not in charge of another person's soul lessons. It is not in anyone's best interest to follow blindly the advice of any person. So like, for example, on this podcast radio show, we've got callers. I'm seeing or foreseeing or having the psychic visioning that I have for them. I provide it. I don't know if Heather or Deborah or Jill or Pam is going to follow or not. And that's not my responsibility, or it's not even my business. It's really up to each soul to take that in as input. And then, you know, they are the souls having soul lessons. They are the people having their own interaction with the universe. I detach from outcome because it's not for me to control anybody or to hold sway over what anyone does. And I think when you're thinking about this idea of, I just want to help people, or I just want to heal people, it's really important to look at, when does your helping or healing stop? Because it should stop quite soon. Now, there are a couple situations. If you have really young children, of course, you're responsible for them. You have to control that they don't run out into the street or eat 7 candy bars. You have to control that. If you are dealing with older people, like a lot of us are dealing with our parents, older parents, we have to make sure that they're protected because maybe they're not thinking as clearly, or they're not physically as capable as they once were. However, even then, we have to respect their choice. We have to respect their own ideas of what they want. So anyway, a lot of us want to help, and then we get into trouble because we psychically see the whole picture. We just see it. And yet it may or may not be our business to provide anything more than the slightest bit of advice if we're asked. And it certainly is our responsibility to know that the universe has things really well in hand. I want to read you this piece from Messages from the Divine, which talks about this. So, everyone around you is also in school. Do you see that man over there on the sidewalk with his cardboard sign scrawled with God bless and anything will help? Do you see that woman in the luxury SUV idling next to him, not making eye contact? Do you see that young man across the street, backpack slung on back, earbuds in ears? Do you see that toddler being pushed in a stroller, mouth open in laughter, head swiveling at the delights of everything, sun, air, birds? Do you see that woman pushing the stroller, overweight, dyed hair, smoking a cigarette as she pushes him? All of these souls are here to learn, each with its own lesson. And we say, these are just the visible present time souls you notice in your day-to-day lives. This is not even counting those souls who inhabit time and space, who you are not yet able to see or sense because they are in other dimensions. Just like you, all these souls have chosen their lesson plan before arriving into this lifetime. All souls are in school. We say, make no judgment on whose lessons are hardest and whose are easiest. You cannot know what the woman in the SUV experiences. Her luxurious life also contains great suffering. You cannot know what the woman smoking experiences. Her downtrodden life also contains great joy. Work your own lessons. Trust that others are busy with their own lesson plan. You do not have to be the same or have the same. You are here to learn what you came to learn. Focus on this task. And I'd like for you to just close your eyes, actually, and just let's do a brief meditation as we wrap up the show today. So go ahead and close your eyes. Take a deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. And in through the nose and out through the mouth. And we're just going to close your eyes, and I'd just like you to listen to this. As you engage with the world today, hold the intention to fully notice every person who crosses your path. And this might even be people you know really well. Look at each person directly in the eyes, or observe each person with compassion. Have a human interaction with each person. Say hello, show kindness. Notice what happens when you show up to others in this way without separation. And finally, I'd like you to just allow the universe to, while you're in this sort of gentle meditative state, to just pop into your mind some of the people that you have been trying to overhelp or overheal, probably with best intentions. And just these people they're just gonna pop into your mind as faces, or you're just gonna know, or their name. And just kind of take note of who the universe is telling you that you don't need to worry about. You can let go of your concern for those people. And you can bring your own awareness into what you are working on in your life, which may be the releasing of overhelping or overhealing. And just kind of sit with that for a moment, allowing those who you've been overhelping or overhealing to make themselves known, and just to wave to them and say, sorry, I'll back off now. I know the universe has things well in hand. I know you're fully capable of learning your own soul lessons. That's what you're here for. And whenever you feel today or the next day sort of this anxiety of wanting to fix things, you can just use this little meditation to help you refocus on what's actually needed. And then we're going to just come back for meditation, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We're back in the room. Everybody, thank you so much for being with me here today. Reminder, the Solstice Project, 28 Days of Light, will start soon, $15. Go to sarahweisman.com. And also get signed up. We've got a new Divine Astrology coming up for June very quickly. And if you're on the mailing list, you're going to get that direct to your inbox, which is exciting. So go ahead and there's also lots of other free gifts and so forth there. So go to the website, sarahweisman.com, and become a free premium member and claim your gifts. Thanks for listening, and we'll be with you next week.